You as always for this day, Lord, for your provision, for your forgiveness, for your grace and mercy, for your patience, and for the opportunity to gather here in Christ's name to praise you and hear from your word. God, we thank you so much for our moms, for mothers who sacrificed for us, who provided for us, Lord, who led us to the foot of the cross, to the knowledge of salvation that is Jesus Christ, and what He is, and what He's done, and what He will do for us. Thank you for our mom. We thank you, Lord, so much for the difference that they have made and will make and are making. Lord, I want to pray for just a moment for those that have lost their mother, Lord, that you would give them peace, that you would give them comfort, not only that they will someday be reunited with you, but reunited with their mother as well in Christ. Lord, I pray for those that, Lord, have been separated from their mother, either through argument or geology or whatever the case may be. Lord, geography is what I meant, God, but you know what I'm saying. Lord, that you would just help reconcile families and bring love and truth back, Lord, that you would just help us to realize just how important we are to them and they are to us. God, I also want to pray for maybe some here this morning who would like to be a mother and have not been able to or trying, Lord. I just pray that you would shower them with your love and your comfort. And Lord, just let them know that they are special to you and you have a plan for them and it is great and it is awesome and then they will be able to celebrate in no matter what the timing or the placing or whatever the situation may be. God, as always, we thank you so much for this chance to open your word, that our hearts and minds, that our families, that our marriages, that our children, that our church, that our community and that our nation might be blessed by the power of God's word. And we thank you as always in Christ's name and all God's people said, you may be seated. I went to the Authority for Good Clean Humor. That's the back page of Boys Life magazine. I found a couple of lines this morning. Why is a computer so smart? Because it listens to its motherboard. See, the 830 service liked that one a lot. Well, I'll have to do better. One son said, Dad, do you know the difference between a pack of cookies and a pack of elephants? And Dad said, no. And he said, well, it's a good thing Mom does the grocery shopping then. Sunday school teacher said, tell me, Johnny, do you say a prayer before eating? He said, no, ma'am. My mom's a good cook. And finally, what they call a definition, a sweater. Something you have to wear when your mother gets cold. That's right. President Woodrow Wilson was the one that instituted the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established this day as a time for a public expression of our love and gratitude and reverence to our mothers and to the mothers of this country. And it's definitely true that no nation is ever greater than its mothers. For they are the ones who form the next generation. I invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is where we'll come from this morning. Many, many a sermon's been preached on this passage. There's entire ministries and websites and foundations based on Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31 in your Bible. It's an acrostic. All right, what is an acrostic? An acrostic in English would be a poem where every line starts with the next letter of the alphabet, the A and then B and then C. There's 22 verses, there's 22 lines, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This was an acrostic that families got together, usually the father and the children, and they recited on Friday evening as the Sabbath was beginning to start, and it was to remind them of just how awesome and precious the mother, how great the wife was. It was designed to build up the worth of mom and to magnify the wife in the home at that time. And the writer, as we see in Proverbs 31, verse 1, was King Lemuel, the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him, okay? This is something that shows us that the influence that King Lemuel's mom had on him was beyond measure, as it is for me, and I'm sure you. And some commentators have even suggested that this was her guidance to him on how to select a wife, which is awfully good advice to give a son. It's awfully good advice to give all you young ladies. It's awfully good advice to all of us who have moms, to see what to to see what she truly means, but it's also good for moms to measure themselves against and for dads to measure themselves against. So we'll take a look in the Bible this morning at Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, and it reads thusly. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant's ships bringing food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed with fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Seriously, is this a real person? I mean, really, you ladies are looking at you, right? Okay, really, is this a real person? I mean, after all, who in the world could possibly live up to this laundry list of expectations, any woman or any man? All right, somebody had to be thinking that. Who has enough hours in a day, enough days in a week, enough weeks in a year to possibly do all that this woman is to describe to have done? I don't know the answer to that question, but I've pulled out about three things that I want us to see, three general things from Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, that I want to share with you this morning that I think that this passage covers and speaks to us. And the first one, and we need to understand this, and if we don't get anything else, let's get this part. Listen to me very carefully. First one, God has a standard for women. All right? He has a standard for women. He has a standard for men. He has a standard for children. He has a standard for his all. He has a standard for the Christian. He has a standard for the deacon. He has a standard for the pastor. He has a standard for the teacher. We need to understand that God has a standard for women, okay? It's not the same standard as the standard that the world or the standards that the world has set. It's not the standard of being barefoot and pregnant, silent and subservient, without dreams or aspirations. That's not God's standard for women. At the same time, it's not part of that liberation movement. It's not the standard of burnt bras and in total independence from men, where I don't need a man or anything like that. God's Word doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, it says just the opposite. It was not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for a woman to be alone. The standard is not that at all. It's also not, the standard is also not this postmodern view of where the woman works 40 hours a week or more, plus doing all the shopping and all the housework and all the cooking and all the cleaning and all the child rearing, maybe some of the yard work and anything else that happens to come up that's odd today. All right, that's not the standard either. God's standard is the standard. And if I may take aside for just a second and speak to what I've just said, as I describe the older standard and the newer standard and something that fell in between, and there seems to be a huge generational gap between what the standard ought to be. And some of us were thinking in our minds, the old was better. The older was way better. And some of us in this room were probably thinking, well, the new, there's some improvements that's going on. Let me tell you something. The older is not always better. The newer is not always better. Listen, the biblical is always better. Period. Age has nothing to do with it. The biblical is always better. So what is the biblical standard? It's right here in Proverbs 31. So let's take a look at what we see. The first thing I see in Proverbs 31 about what God's biblical standard for God, for women is this. She makes her home look good. In verse 13, it says there, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. And then we see down here, she also... She's bringing food from afar and considers a field and buys it. She holds the dye staff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. All kinds of things. She makes coverings for her bed and clothes her family and all that sort of thing. Okay, she makes her home look good. Some people have tried to use this passage to correct women who have jobs outside the home. Okay, I don't see that at all. What I see in this woman here is not necessarily a woman who doesn't have a job outside the home, because she's doing things outside the home as described here in Proverbs 31. What I see here is a woman that is willing and is doing whatever it takes for her family. Willing to do and is doing here what it takes for her family. The main point is not whether a woman works or where a woman works, but that her family is the priority. That's what we see here in Proverbs 31. In verse 13, it says she works with eager hands. See, she's glad to do it. She's willing to do it. She's eager. It matters to her. And it matters to her what her home looks like. She makes her home look good. Now, what is good? There's a worldly definition of good. There's a modern definition of what biblically good. Now, she wants to be a good steward of what God has blessed her with in this house. She wants to be a good steward of what God has blessed her with in this home, in her children, in her husband, and all these things. She wants to, a godly woman makes her home look good. So men, let's try to help her, all right? Don't come in the house with muddy shoes on. Amen? Right? Don't leave your towel laying in the middle of the bathroom floor. Pick it up and put it where it belongs. Y'all with me on this? Hear me on this. A very real part of her biblical value is in making her home look good. Let me repeat that. For a woman, biblically, a very real part of her biblical value is in making her home look good. So let's be a help to her. Now, I'm not talking about when she gets up at 0:30 and makes the eggs and the bacon and the biscuits and all that and feeds the kids and you get up and eat it too, and then she washes the dishes and wipes off the table and put the placemats back, and then you carry the garbage bag from the kitchen out to the disposal, being outside in the garage and feel like you've really done something. All right, that ain't what I'm talking about, all right? I'm talking about helping her out, being a help to her in making that home look good. Listen, men and women are different in a lot of ways, amen? One man read one of those articles, and we've all heard about it, where it said that women say roughly 30,000 words every day, and men say roughly 15,000 words every day. And he turned to his wife and said, "Why is it, honey?" And she said, "Because I have to tell you everything twice." To which he said, "What, did you say something?" Biblical woman makes her home look good. The second thing a biblical woman does is makes her husband look good. She makes her husband look good. Look at verse 11. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life, okay? And then you look on down in verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And in verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household. Okay, she makes her husband look good. Now, I know what some of you women are thinking right now. Preacher, you see what I got to work with here, right? Come on now. How am I supposed to make that look good? So men, don't make it so hard for them. All right? And back in verse 15, listen, it says she provides, I've done skipped down to the wrong part. Anyway, she makes her husband look good. Yeah, back down in verse 15, it says she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. All right? Her family's needs are met. She makes her family look good. She makes sure her family's needs are met. And then back in verse 13, she selects wool and flax. Okay, she's not just going through the motions. She's not picking up the first thing she finds. In other words, there's the indication there when it says she selects what she's going after, in this case, wool and flax, that she's not just getting the bare minimum. She's not content with just a passing grade. She strives for the very best for her family and the best that she can be, all right? She's being selective, so she's trying to make her husband and her family look good. That's what the biblical model of a woman is. And the third and last thing I want you to know is she makes her Savior look good. What does that mean? It means she glorifies God with her words, with her deeds, with her works, with her marriage, with her mothering. She glorifies God in all these things. In verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. That's what God calls us to do. Amen? Right? She glorifies God in all that she says, in all that she does. There, in verse 25, she's clothed with strength and dignity. Where in the world does she get so much strength and dignity? From God, amen? All right. She can laugh at the days to come. Why? Because she studied God's Word, she knows God's Word, she puts her trust in God's Word and in God's provision. She glorifies God in all that she says and does. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and with faithful instruction is on her tongue. All these things absolutely come from God. In verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She glorifies God. She makes her Savior look good. Paul wrote to Titus in the book of Titus in chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. He said, he was telling Titus how to be the pastor. He was telling him what to teach. He said, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the Word of God. So that no one can malign the Word of God. See, she's concerned about her walk, her witness. It is her identity. Who she is in Christ is her identity. A Christian woman is the title that she carries above all others. When you look at her, you see a wife, you see a mother, you see a woman of Christ. Wednesday night, we started a study on the five major feasts of the Old Testament. We talked about Passover. To some of you, that may begin to sound a little dry, but trust me, it wasn't. And if you'll join us this coming Wednesday, you'll see that it wasn't. But we went back to Exodus chapter 12, and we saw how God said this is to be the first month of the year. And it was the time when it was time to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And He said, on this particular night, which will be the 14th day in Nisan, and that'll be the first month of every year. And I want you to start every year remembering what I've done here tonight. And He said, I want you to go out and I want you to get the perfect lamb. Get a lamb that's suitable for sacrifice. Get a good one, all right? And I want you to bring it into your home and I want you to inspect it and make sure it's right. And then I want you to cook it just right. And I want you to prepare it just right with the right kind of herbs. All right, I don't want you to clean it or do certain things wrong. Don't boil it and make sure it's over open fire. I want you to serve it just right. And I want you to eat it just right with your sandals on and your cloak tucked in your belt and the staff in your hand. All right, I want you to do all those things just right. And I also want you to take some of the blood of that lamb and I want you to put it on the door passageway of your home. And I'm going to come through that night. And God said, I'm going to exercise judgment on all of Egypt. And the firstborn of every home, whether it be a human being or a livestock or whatever it is, I'm going to slaughter that night. I'm going to kill them unless I see that blood over the passageway of the door. Okay, unless I see it there, and they will be spared. And here's what we learned, folks. Listen very carefully, especially you mothers. You can do everything just right according to whatever standard you've chosen to try to follow. And even if it's the religious standard, you can do everything just right. You can wear the right clothes. You can prepare the home just right. You can cook just right. You can clean just right. You can make sure you're at the right services, at the right kind of church, that sings the right kind of music, and reads the right kind of version. You can do all the right things. But listen, unless you apply the blood of Christ to your home, then you are still subject to judgment and plague. Tall order. Amen. We have to apply the blood of Christ to our life and show our families that we do business and how to do that too. It's the only way. It's the only truth. It's the only life. For those that are faithful to do that, Proverbs 31:31 says, give her the reward she has earned. And let her works bring praise at the city gate. A woman that's able to do all that deserves praise. What I see in Proverbs 31 is a woman who knows the Word of God, who grows in her spiritual walk, and goes where she goes, and does what she does to the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, as always, for the truth and the power and the perfection of your holy word, God. We just pray that we would have heard it as you have spoken it to us today, Lord, that our hearts have been soft and open, Lord, that we might respond to conform to the image, as your word tells us to, of Jesus Christ our Lord, your perfect and holy Son. God, we thank you so much for mom. And for moms, Lord, we thank you so much for the biblical standard and a promise that if we will adhere to that, we will see blessing and escape judgment. Lord, help us all to be fervent and convicted to always go to your word and to your will for how to be a mom, how to be a dad, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a son, how to be a daughter, how to be a Christian. Thank you for telling us. Thank you for sharing. Lord, if there be anyone in our midst this morning who needs to respond and rededicate their life, if there be anyone here this morning who needs to respond and rededicate their motherhood, if there be anyone in our midst this morning who needs to respond and accept you into their life and give their life to you and name you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray they'd do that before it's everlasting too late. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've said. And we thank you for what is ahead for us who put our trust and faith in you. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus.